So this morning we're reading from Canton number 8 of Srimad Bhagavata, and we're reading from chapter number 7, entitled Lord Shiva Saved the Universe by Drinking Poison, and we are reading from text number 44, so if you can read the afternoon. Tapyante lokatapena Sargo prasujana Aradhanam tadhi Purushasya kilatmanaha
Purushasya kilatmanaha
Tapyante lokatapena
Tapyante lokatapena
Sargo prasujana Tapyante lokatapena
Tapyante lokatapena
Sarva prasujana
Sarva prasujana
Aradhanam tadhi
Aradhanam tadhi
Purushasya kilatmanaha
Purushasya kilatmanaha
So, we'd like to repeat.
Tapyante lokatapena
Tapyante lokatapena
Sarva praiso janana
Sarva praiso janana
Paramaradhanam tati
Paramaradhanam tati
Purushasya akhilatmanaha
Purushasya akhilatmanaha Tapyante lokatapena
Sarva
prasujana Sarva prasujana
Paramaradhanam tati
Paramaradhanam tati
Purushasya
akhilatmanaha
Tapyante
Tapyante
Lokatapena Because of the suffering of people in general.
Because of the suffering of people in general.
Sadhava.
Sadhava.
Saintly persons.
Saintly persons.
Vayasa.
Vayasa.
Almost always.
Almost always.
Janaha.
Janaha.
Such persons.
Such persons.
Paramaradhanam.
Paramaradhanam.
The topmost method of worshipping.
The topmost method of worshipping.
That activity.
That activity.
Purushasya,
Purushasya,
the Supreme Person,
of the Supreme Person,
Akhilatmanaha,
Akhilatmanaha,
the Super Soul of everyone,
who is the Super Soul of everyone.
Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, Shreya Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is present in everyone's heart. Here is an explanation of how those engaged in activities for the welfare of others are very quickly recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:68-69, Yaidam paramam bhuyam mahapakesho vidhashiti Nachatasma nanusheshu kashkime vyakritama One who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita to my devotees is most dear to me. No one can excel him in satisfying me by worship. There are different kinds of welfare activities in this material world, but the supreme welfare activity is the spreading of Krishna consciousness. Other welfare activities cannot be effective, for the laws of nature and the results of karma cannot be checked. It is by destiny or the laws of karma that one must suffer or enjoy. For instance, if one is given a court order, he must accept it, whether it brings suffering or profit. Similarly, everyone is under obligations to karma and its reactions. No one can change this. Therefore, the Shastra says, Dasheva heto prete tapo vidar na labhyate yat ramatam upajyata. Bhagavatam 1.5.18. One should endeavor for that which is never obtained by wandering up and down the universe as a result of the reaction of karma. What is that? One should endeavor to become Krishna conscious. If one tries to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, he should be understood to be performing the best welfare activity. The Lord is automatically very pleased with him. If the Lord is pleased with him, what is left for him to achieve? If one has been recognized by the Lord, even if he does not ask the Lord for anything, the Lord, who is within everyone, supplies him whatever he wants. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Desham nitya biyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Again, as stated here, tapyante lokatapyana sadavo presojana. The best welfare activity is raising people to the platform of Krishna consciousness, since the conditioned souls are suffering only for want of Krishna consciousness. The Lord Himself also comes to mitigate the suffering of humanity. Yada yada hiranyasya gnanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam sajamyaham pavitranaya sadhinam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavam yuge yuge. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice of descendant of Bharat and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium. Bhagavad Gita 4:7-8. All the Shastras conclude, therefore, that spreading the Krishna consciousness movement is the best welfare activity in the world. Because of the ultimate benefit this bestows upon people in general, the Lord very quickly recognizes such service performed by a devotee. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So many questions. Sometimes Prabhupada's purports are just like, it's all there, you know, what more can be said? I'd like to pick up on a very beautiful point that Buddha Vardhanakuru yesterday was talking about. He was mentioning Srila Bhakti Chinchamani and how Shivaram Maharaj explains that one can understand the advancement of a devotee based on the depth of their service attitude. Here, Lord Shiva has taken on the arduous task of drinking the poison that has been come out of the churning of the milk ocean. The Lord had instructed the demigods and the demons come together. Nowhere else in the history of the universe had this ever happened, that the demons and the demigods were working together. They're usually fighting, but somehow or other the Lord got them to work together. Work together to do what? To churn the milk ocean. And from there many items would emerge. And ultimately the nectar of immortality would emerge. But before the nectar of immortality could emerge, the poison came. And if something wasn't done with the poison, that was game over for everyone and the entire universe. So Lord Shiva took the task. He became known as Nilkanth, the one who has a blue throat because he drank that poison and held it and protected it, protected everyone from it. So this is the devotee. The devotee is ready to take on suffering. The devotee is ready to take on anxiety. The devotee is ready to take on the complexity. The devotee is ready to take on the responsibility to help the world. You can basically measure the advancement of a devotee by how much voluntary suffering they're willing to take on so that other people can be freed from suffering. That's powerful. That's such a powerful point. The devotee, one devotee had gone to Vrindavan and he was put in charge of the construction. Construction in itself is a headache. Construction in India is double headache. Once Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Prabhupada told him, I want you to go to India and manage. He said, Prabhupada, I go anywhere in the world, I go to the higher planets, the lower planets, but I ain't going to India. Prabhupada said, why? Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, I can deal with anyone, but I can't deal with Indians. They are too tricky. Indians are just not straight. They're too tricky. Prabhupada looked at him and said, but I'm an Indian. He said, no, Prabhupada, not you. Prabhupada said, no, you're right, I am also tricky. Tricky to become Krishna conscious. So who wants to go to India? You can't, it's very difficult, you know. Harisori Prabhu, one time he told Prabhupada, I can't handle the crowds in India. Have you ever tried handling a crowd? It's like a herd of elephants. So Prabhupada said to Harisori Prabhu, if you want to deal with crowds in India, you have to push them. I mean, in the West, to push someone is like, you get a court order done on you for grievous bodily harm or something. I said, no, in India you have to push people. But Prabhupada said, the secret is smile. The more you smile, the more you can push. That's how you control the crowds. So one devotee is going to India to manage the construction in Vrindavan. And you know, it's a headache. It's so difficult. There's so many complexities. And then Prabhupada came and he said, Prabhupada, I'm looking over all the construction here. I'm in Vrindavan, I'm in Krishna's home, I'm in the hub of the spiritual world. Everywhere I go, everyone is singing Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan, even the rickshaw drivers. Everywhere I go, everyone's saying Radhe, Radhe. And in my mind, all I'm thinking of is Rupee, Rupee. Prabhupada told him, first Rupee, Rupee. First Seva. First responsibility. First take on the anxiety. First take on the troublesome nature of trying to serve and make this world a better place. And then maybe you'll have some qualification for Radhe Radhe. When I came to the Krishna Consciousness Movement, I think what impressed me the most was how hardworking devotees were. Shri Dharma Prabhu, he used to tell me this. He said, you know what's the best alarm clock in the world? And no one from Pandava Sena can answer this. Anyone want to guess? What is the best alarm clock in the world?
Your motivation to... I've heard
you. Your body?
Your motivation to do something.
The best alarm clock in the world is purpose. When your eyes open in the morning, if you have purpose, you will jump out of bed. And when I saw the devotees, I just felt like they're so hardworking, they're so dedicated. I'll tell you a funny story. Parashuram Prabhu, he's incredibly, he's on another world, you know. So one time he said to me, this was years ago, he said to me, you want to come to Amsterdam Rath Yatra with me? I said, yeah, why not? So he said, meet me at the back of the kitchen at 6 p.m. I said, okay. So, you know, I packed a few things and then I came to the back of the kitchen. So then it was his Food for Life van. I don't know if you've seen Parashuram's Food for Life van. I mean, it looks like he needs an MOT. He goes, okay, jump in. So I started walking to the front. You know, he goes, no, there's no room in the front, go in the back. It's like, okay, Food for Life van in the back. Okay, let's go, let's run with this, you know. So then I opened the back. And there was a deck chair in the back. Yeah. I'm like, we were going to sit on the deck chair in the back of the Food for Life van and drive all the way to Amsterdam. He said, yeah, don't worry, it'll be fine. So then I got in. So I'm sitting on the back of this deck chair in the back of a Food for Life van and surrendered to this, you know. Maybe my parents were right about the Hare Krishna. Krishna and I was having a bit of doubts, you know. Anyway, then we drove, and Parashuram was driving. So he drove all the way to Dover, 2 hours, we got on the ferry. got across another 2 hours, and then from Calais we were driving through whatever, France, Belgium, so we're driving through Europe. So you must have drove another 3 hours from Calais. And then there's a police siren on the back. So anyway, he pulls over the van. So then the policeman comes and he knocks on the window, like Parshuram's driver's side. So then Parshuram winds down the window. So he's like, okay, who are you guys? Where are you going? He's like shining a torch in the front to see. So Parshuram, you know, Irishman. Sweet talk. And then the guy shines the torch to the back. And then he sees me. So he looks at Parshuram, he goes, who's this guy? Parshuram goes, he's my friend. He's my friend, but what's he doing in the back in the lecture? This is illegal. Parshuram, this is illegal. He goes, you can't do this. This is unsafe. So Parshuram looks at me and goes, you got to get out. Where I am. This is like before smartphones, yeah? He goes, you gotta get out. This is illegal. So then he opens the door, right? So then I take the deck chair out. He goes, you can take the deck chair. So I don't know where I am. I have no idea. I'm somewhere in Europe, somewhere. It's the middle of the night. It's freezing cold. I'm in a dhoti, and I'm sitting in a deck chair on the side of the street. I have no idea where I am. And then Parshuram closes the door. I'm sitting up, and he goes, don't worry, I'll be back. I said, Krishna said that when he left me. So I don't know, like, you know, just chanting rounds there. But here's the amazing thing I'll tell you. Parshuram, he drove from the manor to Dover, 2 hours. Then we went across the sea, 2 hours. We went from Calais to this place where I got dropped off, 3 hours he drove. Then from there, he drove to Amsterdam for 3 hours. He dropped off all the Rathiatra things. He drove back 3 hours. He came back. I'll hand in that. I got back in the van. He drove back to Amsterdam another 3 hours. He got off in Amsterdam and he started cooking the feast for the Rathiatra. He finished cooking the feast, the procession began, he was at the front of the procession with his ukulele doing, you know, this harinam. And then the Rathiatra finished, he packed everything up, he goes into the van, he puts the deck chair at the back. He goes, okay, sit down, we got it. And then he just started driving again. And then he drove another 3 hours. And then someone took over the driving. And I was like, I counted. He went like 24 hours, must be over 24 hours without stopping. And I was like, I was really frustrated. And at the same time, I was just blown away. I was just like, devotees are amazing. They just work so hard. Why are they working so hard? Because they want to share Krishna consciousness with others. Their meditation was always how to share Krishna consciousness. It's the legacy. You know, like when I first joined the movement, I remember I was driving, we were going in the Sankirtan car, and I got out of at the petrol station, I was tanking up the petrol. So then he got to 60 pounds. And then the devotee like knocked on the window and he goes, a little bit more. I go, no, it's already 60 pounds. He goes, no, go 60 pounds and 1 pence. I go, why? He goes, because in the petrol station, they never ask for the extra penny. And then the SO petrol station gets the credit of serving the Sankirtan movement. And I was like, I never thought of it like that, you know. It was just amazing that devotees were always thinking of how to engage others, how to bring other people to the Krishna consciousness movement. And so that's what really impressed me about the devotees, that they worked so hard, they had purpose. They had something they wanted to do to make the world a better place. And then I was wondering, where did they get it from? Where did they get that spirit from? And then we heard all about Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Srila Prabhupada's followers who just sacrificed so much for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. Like recently in London, Radha Vinod Prabhu, some of you may know him, he got a stroke, unfortunately, you know. And, someone who was so active in serving, and someone who was, doing so much for Krishna, and just overnight, kind of paralyzed. And so we were going to his home and we were doing kirtan, and one day we put this video on of Jayam Thakur Maharaj, Never Give Up, talking about how after Jayam Thakur Maharaj's condition, how he just kept going, and that all these, he traveled this many miles and gave this many classes and never give up. The devotees just keep going. Just keep going and going, no matter what the complexity. And then I thought, how did all of Srila Prabhupada's followers get that spirit? And then we realized they got that spirit from Prabhupada. We remember the story of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who was distributing books in the communist countries. And then he came to see Prabhupada, and Prabhupada called him forward and he was rubbing his head. And Prabhupada said, you're doing such amazing service. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was overcome by emotion and he was crying as Prabhupada was sharing his love and appreciation for his preaching of Krishna consciousness. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was crying and he said, Prabhupada, we only did it because you pushed us. We only did it because you pushed us. And Prabhupada said, yes, I am pushing you. My Guru Maharaj pushed me. The parampara are pushing. This is a pushing movement. And just like one carriage is pulling another carriage, which is pulling another carriage, in this way the parampara is pushing or pulling, whatever you want to see it, all the way back to Godhead. And realize they got that spirit from Prabhupada. Prabhupada, who was always pushing, who was always going into the unknown. I thought about Prabhupada's life and I thought about how at every stage Prabhupada was taking a journey into the unknown. When Prabhupada was in family life and it wasn't suitable, then eventually he just became a renunciate in Vrindavan, a journey into the unknown. In Vrindavan, no money, no place to stay. He just went to Vrindavan, a journey into the unknown. When Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and then he was getting dreams, I should take sannyas, he said it was like horrifying. But he said, okay, the Vaishnavas are saying, a journey into the unknown, let me do that. Then Prabhupada got passage to come on board a ship, to come to America. America, no money, no contacts, no strategy, no experience of that culture. Prabhupada did it, a journey into the unknown. In America, Prabhupada came to Butler, Pennsylvania. And it was nice, he stayed with the Agarwals. But at a certain point, he realized, I'm not going to be able to spread it from here. I have to go to New York. And so he left Butler, Pennsylvania, went to New York, a journey into the unknown. When he came to New York, Prabhupada was in Dr. Mishra's apartment in uptown New York. That was where all the posh people came. Prabhupada was teaching. But at a certain point he realized, this is not the place. We have to go to the Skid Row, to the Lower East Side. So Prabhupada left uptown New York and he went to the Lower East Side, a journey into the unknown. Prabhupada was always going into the unknown. He was always looking for a new way, a new opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness. That's a devotee. A devotee is always looking, how much further can I go? What more can I do? One time Prabhupada, he was in an airport. in America somewhere, and one Indian reporter, he said, Swamiji, why have you come to America? He himself was an Indian reporter, you know, as though it was his country. He said to Prabhupada, why have you come to America? Prabhupada looked at him and he said, why have you come to America? He said, Swamiji, I came to America for better opportunities. Prabhupada said, me too. But you came for better opportunities to take. I have come for better opportunities to give. This is Vaishnava. Always looking, how can I give? How can I contribute? How can I reach out? What more can I do to extend myself? This is the greatest welfare work in the world. So Prabhupada just, it went through his veins to share Krishna consciousness. And then where did Prabhupada get it from? Srila Prabhupada got it from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was a hardcore missionary. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was willing to do anything to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. He was breaking misconceptions, casteism. He took a parikrama to India, to Vrindavan. And because he was speaking out against so many deviant philosophies and deviant things, people wanted to kill him. People wanted to assassinate him. Once a policeman came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, Swamiji, watch out. People are offering us bribes to kill you. The policeman looked at him and he said, it's not that we don't take bribes and kill people. We do it. But you're a sadhu, so we're not going to do it. But be careful. One time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took a whole group, parikrama, to Vrindavan. And there was a stampede. There were people out there who were ready. They just wanted, because he was removing all of these deviant philosophies. And you know what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had to do? His grihastha disciple was there. And he said, let's switch clothes. So he's put on the white dress just so that he could sneak out of that place alive. He was taking such risks. One time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur even said in the month he was inviting some eminent persons who could help in the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement. He said, if need be, you can serve them meat. So serve them meat. Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciple, he came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and he said, Swamiji, like Guru Maharaj, people are criticizing that you're serving meat just to entertain such personalities. We will get a bad name. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur looked back at him and said, they do not know that 100 lifetimes ago, I made a vow that I do whatever it takes to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. That was the spirit of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Once he was giving a class and he looked at all of his disciples and he said, I wish that every selfless, tender-hearted member of the Gaudiya Math be willing to shed 200 gallons of blood for the upliftment of the spiritual corpus of the entire world. 200 gallons of blood. I don't know how many blood, how many gallons are in the human body, but that's a lot of blood. Where did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur get that spirit from? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was reaching out. Yesterday we heard his quote, isn't it? And we should not just be repositories of information. We should share that inspiration with the world. We should not imprison the knowledge within ourselves, but we should give that knowledge to everyone. And so, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where did he get it from? The Goswamis. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was known as the seventh Goswami. And the Goswamis of Vrindavan, that was their heart. to share Krishna consciousness with others. Lokanam hitakarino tribhuvane manyoshana karo. They were always looking at lokahita. What is the benefit for the world? What benefit can we give to the world? So, and where did they get it from? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why did he come to the world? Prem ras niyas kore ashvadhan raga marga bhakti loke karite prachan. Why did Mahaprabhu come to the world? Prema ras niyas kore ashvadhan. Because he came to taste the rasa of love. But not just that. Raga marga bhakti loke karite prachan. Because he came also to give that love to everyone. And where does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu get it from? Because he is Krishna himself, and in this purport Prabhupada mentions, Krishna says, Nachatasma Nanusheshu Kashim Me Priyakritama Padita Nachame Tasmad Anya Priyataropuhi. In this world there is no servant more dear to me than the one who tries to share Krishna consciousness. If there is one theme that goes through the heart of every single link of the parampara is the theme of trying to give Krishna to others. This is the legacy, the heart of the Krishna consciousness movement. And so, today we are talking about this principle, marry the mission. Whether you are unmarried, you are a brahmachari, you are a sannyasi, whether you are married with a wife or a husband, whether you are a brahmachari or a grihastha, whether you are a brahmastra, this is the marriage that everyone can take. The marriage to say, every day when I wake up, my purpose is that I'm going to do something to make the world a better place. I'm going to do something to contribute to other people's lives. I'm going to do something to continue the legacy of the parampara. And it's not easy. It takes effort. It means there will be anxiety in your life. It means there will be extra responsibility. It means that you will have to begin giving up some of your comforts. It means that you will have to sacrifice. It means that sometimes you will have to come out of the comfort zone. It means that sometimes you will have to put your desires to one side and say, no, today I'm going to serve Krishna's desires. We can either choose a comfortable life or we can choose a life of service. Shri Dhammapuru, who we all know, such an illustrious personality. His motto was, don't try to be happy. Try to serve. You see? Don't try to be happy. You won't work in the material world. But if you try to serve, if you try to put it to one side and put others before ourselves, life becomes magical. It becomes incredible. And Srila Prabhupada has given us the opportunity to do that. So in Krishna consciousness, sometimes it feels disconcerting because we're getting different messages. Yesterday I was sitting on this chair and telling you, go deep within, go deep, introspect, reflect, go in, become internal devotee. And here we are today on the same chair and we're saying, go out, reach out, extend yourself. We think like, make up your mind. Which one do you want to do? Which one do we want you to do? We want you to do both. We should do both. I'm trying in my life also to do both. Because this is the rhythm of life. You breathe out, and then you breathe in. And then you know what? You breathe out again, and you breathe in. You have to give, and then you have to receive. You have to extend, and then you have to go internal. You have to serve, and then you have to also connect. This is the rhythm of life. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami glorified Haridas Thakur. Achar prachar kara karahadui karya tumi sarva guru tumi jagatera arya. We said some people, they practice Krishna consciousness very nicely, but they do not share. And some people, they like to go out and tell the whole world, but they don't practice nicely. Tumi sarva guru tumi, you are the spiritual master of the whole world. Because not only do you practice very well, but you also extend yourself and try to give it to others. So all of us have the opportunity within the mission of Krishna consciousness to find our own little mission within the mission of Krishna consciousness. The Kurma Brahmana, we may say life is difficult. Life is complex. Life needs to balance so many things. I have so many things that I need to resolve. The Kurma Brahmana thought the same thing. I have many difficulties. The waves of materialistic life are so complex. And what did Mahaprabhu tell him? Jale deka dareka Krishna upadesh amara agyaya guru tanahare desh. He said, Mahaprabhu, the waves of materialistic life are making spiritual life too difficult for me. So what did Mahaprabhu tell him? I've got a solution for you. Jale dekha, whoever you see. Darekaha, whoever you speak to. Krishna upadesh, tell them Krishna's instructions. Amara agyaya, on my order, become a guru and share Krishna consciousness with the whole world. And then you think, I've got problems in my life. Answer, everyone you meet, tell them about Krishna. Okay, how do those two things fit in together? It almost seems like, what does that have to do with that? The amazing thing is, when you help other people solve their problems, you know what? Your own problems become solved. When you try to make other people knowledgeable, you know what? You become very wise yourself. When you try to share happiness with others, you know what? You become happy. If you try to give bhakti or awaken bhakti within others, you know, your own bhakti becomes awakened. If you try to give love to others, that love comes back to you. This is the beauty of life, a life of service. So this point was being discussed very nicely yesterday's session, that the service attitude, the desire to go beyond one's own selfishness and live a life of selflessness, this is the great opportunity that all of us have. And yes, it's difficult. We have so many responsibilities in life. We have so many things to balance. But Bhaktivedanta Maharaj puts it beautifully. And we have to all remember this. When your desire to serve is so great that you go beyond your capacity, but you continue on without hesitation, at that moment, empowerment occurs. So when we want to serve, you see, we may say, I don't have the facility to serve, I don't have the space to serve, but what we have to do is have the seva bhav. You see, the attitude of wanting to serve. If the seva bhav is there, then Krishna will make all the arrangements in our life for us to serve. But we have to want to serve. We have a great opportunity in Birmingham. I always say, Birmingham needs the mercy. Whenever I drive into Birmingham, it always starts raining. Bunda Akhenis var, you know. It's such a great opportunity, isn't it? Prabhupada just gave us all a part of his mission to take care of. Birmingham, the second biggest city in the UK, a place so many people, so many diverse opportunities, unlimited scope for service, and we all have the opportunity to take responsibility and say, we will be the caretakers of Prabhupada's interests in this part of the world. It's such an honor. It's such a privilege. And what can we achieve if every single person in this room takes the responsibility and says, you know, I'm going to extend a little bit further. I'm going to go a little bit further. Shall I tell you an amazing thing about unity, the power of unity? In 1976, the devotees in America ordered a print run of the Bhagavad Gita. And you know how many copies they ordered? 1 million copies to be printed. Okay? Because this is how many books they were distributing. Shall I tell you an amazing thing? They made that order of 1 million copies of the Gita to be printed. Just to give you an idea, to bring the paper to the printing factory, it came in a train which was a row of carriages which lasted for 3 miles. Okay? 1 million copies of the Gita. Shall I tell you something amazing? In the history of the world, up till that point, no one had ever made or enlisted a print run of 1 million of any book. But the devotees, just a few devotees, not many, they ordered a print run of 1 million books, something that had never been done in the history of the world, because they had heard Prabhupada's order that print my books and distribute them, and they took it to heart. And they just came together and they just did that. People would go all over the world in the 70s and they'd be like, we meet you guys everywhere. There must be like tens of thousands of devotees. And the reality was, there was only a handful of devotees. But they were always out there. They were just extending themselves. And people thought like, there must be so many of you. But there weren't. But they were just out there. They were extending themselves. This is the power of what can be done if we come together. So, a new temple, a new start, new revolution. Being here with all of you is just incredible. You know, the energy, the talent, the desire, the camaraderie amongst all of you. And whatever happened in the past, happened in the past. And we move on, we live and we learn. And every day is a new day in Krishna consciousness. And we can do something amazing for Srila Prabhupada. So let's take that opportunity. It's a real adventure. And it becomes more and more of an adventure when every single person in the room says, you know what, I also want to be part of the adventure. And you will see incredible things happening. So let us all try to marry the mission in our own way. It's not just for one ashram or another ashram. It's not just for certain group of devotees who take up that. It's for everyone. Jare Dekha Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh. And if we all do it, if we all take it up, Krishna magic will happen. And miracles will happen. We will see Lord Chaitanya's pastimes happening in front of us. We are different Sankirtan leaders. And I remember one Sankirtan leader, at the beginning of the day, he would get everyone together. And he'd be like, okay, everyone, we're going on Sankirtan. You know, it's going to be difficult, it's going to be tough, but work now, samadhi later. So it was like, okay, it was nice, it was a good message. But then later on we had another Sankirtan leader, and he got everyone together at the beginning of the day, and he was like, guys, today we're going to be entering Gauranga's leela. And I was like, yeah, that, I connect with that more. And then we would go out and be inspired. And it was two different approaches, and they both had their merits. But the second one excited me. The second one moved my heart. The second one I thought to myself, yeah, I also want to be part of Gauranga's leela. I also want to be part of the miracles of this movement. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Adyapi hashe leela kaha gaura roi, kona kona bhagyavan dekhi bara koi, that Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are going on even today. Kona kona bhagyavan, but you have to become very fortunate. Dekhi bara koi, and then you'll be able to see. So who wants to see Mahaprabhu's miracles in front of them? That opportunity is there for us. And I'll just end on one final thing, and then I'll open it up to you if you have any reflections or comments. When I was thinking of joining the temple, the devotees were all trying to convince me, do it, do it, do it. I was kind of a mental thing. I was like, shall I do it, shall I not? It was very difficult also with family. So I remember once being in a room and there was like a delegation of the devotees and they were like firing arguments at me. And inside, like, I could see, I was thinking like, yeah, these guys, they know like I've got potential. They've spotted the potential of me. You know, so I had this kind of pride within me that they really want me. They want me. And then everyone left and Sri Dhammapu was in the room. And then he said something to me, which was the most humbling thing. And at the same time, the most inspiring thing. And he looked at me and he said, you know, Lord Chaitanya's movement is going to spread everywhere, whether you join it or not. But the question is, do you want to be part of the adventure? And I was like, yo, sign me up. Sign me up. It was humbling because I realized it's not dependent on me. Tomorrow I can walk away. And you know what? It's going to happen anyway. Because Lord Chaitanya has predicted it. But the question is, do you want to be part of that miracle? Do you want to be part of that story? Do you want to be part of that leela? It's a leela. It's a transcendental pastime. Prabhupada said, ISKCON is the latest chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're living it. I mean, all this prasadam. Part of the CC. It's an amazing opportunity. So, what can we say? This is the offer of Srila Prabhupada. My spiritual master, he came to the movement in 1978, just after Srila Prabhupada left the world. And I remember once he was giving a class and someone put their hand up and said, Maharaj, you just missed Prabhupada. You just missed him by a year. How do you feel? You didn't get to see Prabhupada. How does that feel for you? And Maharaj looked at him and said, I see Prabhupada every single day. I'm meeting Prabhupada every single day. I feel Prabhupada's presence every single day. Because Prabhupada said, I live forever in my instructions, and the follower lives with me. So if you want to see Prabhupada every single day, if you want to walk in the pastimes of the Chaitanya Charitamrita every single day, if you want to see the magic, the Krishna magic in your life firsthand, Marry the mission and take the responsibility, not the responsibility, the privilege. Whether we're there or not, it's going to happen. But do we want to be a part of it? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Time.
Do you
have time?
It's 8:28.
The offering is done.
Many illustrious devotees are here also who I know. I'm kind of seeing Ravi Guru here and so many adventures he's been on in preaching. Would you like to share something about sharing Krishna consciousness? Maybe something about Tribhuvanath Guru? If there's a mic.
Put me on the spot.
Okay.
Well, Ravi Guru,
I'll
ask a question while you think it's so when you were
I just sensed the tension in my own self or like a dissonance when and I'm asking how do I get over this when we are feeling like if we give other people knowledge then we become wise, if we help them with their troubles, our troubles go. How do we make sure we don't taint our service so we're, it's a subtle thing, do you understand what I'm saying? We're doing it still for our benefit, it's almost still there's a selfish sense there. I just sense it in myself.
Yeah. I'll just be very, very honest with you, Balaram. I think whatever we do in Krishna consciousness, I speak for myself anyway, we can pretty much guarantee it's never going to be pure. When I lead a kirtan, is it pure? Clearly I have some kind of self-absorption there. When I give a class, is it just for the people? I wish it was, but clearly there's some self-absorption there. When we serve others, is it just for the people? Clearly, you know, I'm also getting mercy here. If we're honest, most of us, we know there is going to be a level of selfishness in whatever we do in Krishna consciousness. Yet, if we learn to begin loving devotional service, one sannyasi once said to me, before loving Krishna, we have to learn to love devotional service. And if we become attached to doing service, even sometimes we may have some ill motivation or some selfish intent. I think with good association, with regular prayer, and by the fire of that service and sacrifice, we can rest assured that whatever remnants of selfishness are within us, it will disappear. We're not going to become it's easier to act your way into a new way of thinking than think yourself into a new way of acting. Of course, we have to balance that statement. But the point is that sometimes we just have to get out there and do it and accept, you know what, I'm not a pure devotee and I don't have a pure motivation. But I sincerely want to try and become a pure devotee. And Prabhupada, He knows my heart. Let me try and do something. Let me try and do something for Prabhupada. And the mercy will descend. So, we have to look for mercy. We are mercy cases. By the power of our chanting, by the determination, by our intelligence and knowledge, we won't make it. But if we get mercy, you know, Prabhupada said, just hold on to my dhoti, I got the back door key to Goloka Vrindavan. So Prabhupada even knew that many of his disciples who he was engaging, probably he knew, it wasn't 100%, but he just got them in the fire of it. So yes, I'm not saying neglect it. Be aware. I have some selfishness. I have this. Pray, introspect, get the feedback of devotees. But when all is said and done, just get roll the sleeves up and get into it. This is a movement of mercy. That's some one way to approach it.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for... I was thinking of Srirupanath a lot when you were talking about dedicating oneself. And so I was very lucky to spend some time with a devotee called Srirupanath, who was one of Prabhupada's disciples. And I was thinking, just when you asked, in around 1995-96, we were doing a festival tour of East Africa. So we were traveling all around Kenya and Tanzania to put on these... cultural festivals, Hare Krishna festivals, for the local Indians and also many of the local African people and so on. And you were talking about how difficult it is to do things in India, it's also really hard to do things in Africa. So I was at the Nairobi temple and Srirupanath said to me, I'm going to arrive about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning with the bus. I need you to be awake and ready to get all of this Krishna vision equipment into the bus, which is these big 9 projectors that all work together with these huge slideshows about the side of that whole wall there, even in the slums of Africa, with Krishna conscious activities on it and stuff with music. It was really powerful. So I was ready. He turned up in the bus and we loaded all the stuff into the bus. He hadn't slept. Like he'd driven like 1,000 kilometers from somewhere else to get there. He said, I'm going to have 1 hour sleep. And I'm not going to wake up again, and then we're going to drive another 1,000 kilometers to this festival. So I said, okay. So I put all the Krishna vision stuff into the bus. He slept for an hour, he came back out. And I don't know if anyone knows Nairobi Temple, but it's on quite a big slope coming down. It's a beautiful temple, a really beautiful big temple. So he got into the bus. It wasn't a new bus, we never had a lot of money, so we. So he turned on the engine and started the bus. And we started rolling down the hill a little bit. And then he started to put the brakes on because we had to turn around. But the brakes didn't work because these hub brakes didn't have to build up pressure with the engine on for a while to get pressure in the brakes. So we started to go faster rolling down this hill. And so it all happened quite quickly. So he started to realize it wasn't going to be able to stop the bus. And it was picking up a lot of speed. And we're heading towards the temple. So he had to steer down. There was a small alleyway at the side of the temple, which lots of local people like lived in these little shanty kind of huts and stuff. Anyway, and at the bottom of that, it was very bumpy and rocky. And at the bottom of it was about a 20 or 30 meter, very, very steep hill. And then it was a forest. So anyway, he started to sort of steer into that alleyway, and then the bus just took off into the air, and he just, I don't know how to describe it, I won't go on to do the drama of it, but he screamed at the top of his voice, just out to Krishna, like, with his full heart, you know. And we went flying through the air and landed sideways into this kind of ditch, and water started spraying out, the windscreen smashed. People started waking up and freaking out. They were kind of crashing into their huts. I mean, their energy. But and he stood up. I was just there. He stood up and he put his head on the pole. You know, when you come into the bus, and he just started talking to Krishna and saying, "Krishna, you know, Africa's going to kill me," and. Then he, after a minute or two, he turned around to me and said, okay, look, you stay here in the bus. I'm going to go into the temple, I'm going to chant for a bit, and then I'm going to figure out a plan. So I'd stay in the bus. All these other people were coming in and sort of looking in and trying to get in and stuff, and I had to just hold the fort in the bus. And then he went out and chanted for a bit. He came back about an hour later and he said, all right, I've got another van. We're going to get all the stuff into this other van. And we're going to drive to the next place. So I said, okay. So we got to this next place. I think it was Dar es Salaam. And there was a university And when we got there, there was a power cut in the whole area, so we had to try and get generators, and anyway, we managed to pull off this festival. That was he drove 1,000 miles to get there. And then at that festival, this devotee called Joe, I don't know if you would remember him, he was a local African devotee, he was a PhD, very clever guy. He became a devotee at that festival, and then for many years he did amazing things in that whole region as a local leader. And it sort of ties into another thing, which I won't, just about 2 more minutes, but one time I organized a birthday thing for Trunan at the manor, and he hated anything like that. He didn't really like anything, any of that kind of attention or anything. But we made a cake, we'd done a big kirtan in the temple, and we went into the prasadam of the manor, and there was all the bodies there, and we were sitting down. And Kripa Mohan couldn't be at the birthday, but he found these photographs of a festival that Kripa Mohan Prabhu himself joined at many, many years before. And it was a festival in the field, it was a kind of an outreach type program. And Kripa Mohan was there as a young boy, and he met the devotees, and he joined from there. And these photographs, Kripa Mohan met a photographer many years later that had taken these photographs, and he gave them to Prabhupada as a present. And Prabhupada looked at them, and he was a bit like an Indiana Jones type character, you know, very soft-hearted, but kind of a bit of an action hero, because he didn't really show emotions very much. And he started to essentially break down. He got very, very emotional, could barely speak for what seemed like a long time. And he said, when I look at each and every one of these devotees in this picture, he said, each and every single one of them joined because of another devotee went out of their way, went extended themselves beyond what they, you know, would have otherwise done. And he said, you never know when someone's going to, well, Krishna wants someone, you know, to become a devotee. And it was the same thing with that situation with Joe. Like, it was so many reasons why we shouldn't have made it to that festival and it shouldn't have happened. But because it did, then he became a devotee. So yeah, it's just another point that you're not making about it. So yeah, that's a good story.
We have time?
Yeah, fine. Breakfast is running here.
Mataji, and then you can give them anything else.
The green one is longer. The green one.
Hi Krishna, super happy to be so nice in the class. And my English is okay, so I'm just trying my best to explain myself. I'm in the Krishna consciousness since 13 years, and the main service is Haridam Sankirtan. And when I came in the UK, my English was so bad, I can't reach the people, like, I don't know how to tell the people to convince them to take the books. But by Krishna's mercy, Srila Prabhupada's mercy, Guru's mercy, now I'm a little bit able to tell people, like, you know, why Krishna has to be so important. And thank you so much for sharing this point, like, let's go to Gauranga Lila. So now it's boosting me more now to, whenever I go now, Harinam, I just think, like, let's go to Gauranga Lila. Because sometimes we're just thinking of ourselves, like, oh, I'm tired, I can't go, like, you know. But since, because of my husband, and I'm motivated by him, like, you know, he just said, like, whatever is the situation, when service is there, service, how to do service. So sometimes we both have somebody, like, he wants to be early, like, you know, and I said, look, nobody's come now, and why are you telling me so early, because I'm cooking and everything. So, like, whether the people coming or not, I have to reach early because it's service time and we have to be very punctual. Because I'm punctual by the workplace, and, you know, I want to reach by sharp 8, 9 o'clock. So, like, that time I'm just saying, yes, when I go for work, I'm very punctual, so I should be the punctual in Harinam time as well. So, I can say the people, like, you know, all our devotees are here, I must encourage the people, like, you know, please come to Harinam because, you know, the people needs love a lot. I know I'm a, some people told me the bad words as well, and some people just give me the praise, like, you know, just give me a hug and say, oh, you are so such a wonderful lady. Like, you know, you're giving the love to everyone. And so I'm just getting everything. And like, you know, still I'm just surrendering to Krishna. And I'm just, I'm like, oh, the people say bad words, still okay. Because, you know, maybe the previous year, the previous life, I've done something bad to her, of him or her. So that's why he's speaking like this way. But I have, I'm strong that time as well. Because if I'm giving up, oh no, this person told me the bad words, I can't go now. No, I'm just saying that, no, this is, I'm Prabhupada's like son. Like, you know, I'm just saying that I'm a Prabhupada's son. And I want to spread the love to Krishna consciousness. So thank you so much to saying this word, let's go to Gauranga Lila. It's affecting me a lot. And I'm going to be more enthusiastic. And just one thing, like, I cried a lot in when I... last month we found it, like, you know, the children can't come in Harina in Birmingham University Center. So I was literally cried, because since my daughter in my tummy, I'm just going all the time Harina, and that I'm literally crying, why this material world is so powerful, like Maya is coming and is stopping to my child to come in Harina Sankirtan. And that time I prayed a lot, please Krishna, we don't want to stop this Harinam Sankirtan. So by Krishna's mercy is going on, and so many children just taking part, and just also just two weeks ago we went, the lady, the child was maybe 5 years old, and she did the dance around 30 minutes, yeah? And after 2 weeks we went to West Bromwich, and her grandmother, she saw me and she said, oh yes, we met in a Warsaw, do you remember? And then, yeah, and then I gave the two books to her. And she was so happy, like, you know, oh wow, thank you for encouraging my child in this dance party. So this Krishna conscious Harinam Sankirtan party is amazing. And so many people get blessings by the Srila Prabhupada. So that one book, like my husband bought the one book from the Ananta Prabhu, is very similar to what you know. So he took that book, coming back book, and he came in Krishna consciousness, like, you know. So I can say these books, Srila Prabhupada's books, are so powerful. And when I was a 12, that time my auntie bought the Krishna book, and that time I read just only two pastimes. So can you imagine, when I was 12, that time I read the book, and now I'm 40, and now I'm just distributing that books. So it's so amazing that Srila Prabhupada is so, so merciful on us, and we have to take this advantage, like, you know. And just yesterday I said, like, you know, we are in a KC journey train, like, you know, I'm in a KC journey train, and Srila Prabhupada is showing the light to Krishna. So it's up to us in the train, the platform, maybe the distraction, Maya, anything, where you want to go, or you want to go direct to the destination in the Goloka. So that's my point. So thank you so much once again, and thank you for listening to me.
Thank you so much. Yes, so 2 minutes. This was very wonderful. Yeah, we'll go to Mataji. This was very wonderful. Yes, go make a commitment, whether it's going out in Harinam. I mean, it's amazing. The Harinam's been going out in Birmingham so many years. Devotees are out there. So many seeds are being planted. And there are so many miraculous stories. I'd love to just sit with you for hours and tell you so many stories of amazing things. You know, I have to be honest with you, like, we have the opportunity to go in front of Krishna every single day at the manor. Beautiful Sri Sri Radha Gopalananda. We've had the opportunity to go to Vrindavan. We've had the opportunity to be in incredible festivals. But I have to share with you my most strongest experiences of Krishna's presence have been while trying to make some humble attempt to share Krishna consciousness with others. There's something about that activity. There's something about that compassionate desire to try and go out and help, in which Krishna just manifests himself so strongly. And therefore, if we don't take that opportunity, it's a loss. It really is Gauralila. It really is Krishna magic. It's the most beautiful thing in the world to reach out. And everyone can do it. It's not just for some people. Every single person can do it. They only have to just find their way. So thank you for sharing your story. Yes, Majid, and this will be the last we'll end here.
Hare Krishna Prabhupada. Hello, Hare Krishna Prabhupada. Thank you so much. It was a wonderful class. It was amazing. I mean, so many things that you've said have so strongly touched my heart. Now, this is a broad question, but maybe you can give a few tips. Like you said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that, you know, jahare dekha tahare kahe Krishna naam. Like whomsoever we see, we should tell about Krishna, we should tell about the Lord. Then we go for Harinam, and when we are in the temple, like it's okay, like it's more possible to do it. But in our daily lives, like I've been thinking about this before as well, because I've heard this before in a class in the manor. So in our daily lives, like in our workplaces, in our, maybe even in our family, in our homes, in our friends, people who are not actually devotees, who are not Krishna conscious, in India at least, people were a little bit like they respect Lord Krishna, even if they're not properly Krishna conscious. But here in the UK, like people might be from different backgrounds, people might be from different faiths. So how can we practically do it to a certain extent? Probably I'm asking this more because I'm from India. In India, it was easier, like you know, have a picture of Lord Krishna all the time, something like that. But here, like, I find it more challenging to do it.
Yeah. See, what does preaching mean? Preaching means bring someone closer to Krishna. That's what it means. Preaching doesn't mean get someone to chant 16 rounds. Preaching doesn't mean get someone to learn the verses of the Gita. That is also preaching, but that's not just preaching. Preaching means bring people one step closer to Krishna. Every day when you go out, you're meeting people. Can you not? You can give them prasadam, isn't it? You can give them prasadam. So who will say no to a cookie? Who will say no? No one will say no. Every day you go out, you meet people. You just have to find ingenious ways in which to bring people closer to Krishna. You know, devotees in Scotland used to go on a bridge, and you know, I mean, you've probably seen all up and down, and they put like Gauranga on all the bridges. You know? So when you go, everyone sees it. Once I was distributing books in the north, and then I said to one person, "Can you say Gauranga?" I said, "Gauranga, I know Gauranga." I said, "You know Gauranga?" He said, "Yeah, I know Gauranga. That's the construction firm that makes all the bridges." I guess my heart is building a bridge in the spiritual world. Just be ingenious. Get people to say Gauranga, you know, give them some prasad just by wearing tilak. Open up a conversation. Be ingenious. Find some way to bring the philosophy of Krishna consciousness into it. Give someone a book, a leaflet. So many ways, isn't it? We have to just have the desire to want to do it. And Prabhupada actually writes one beautiful letter to someone, and he said, if just every single day you preach sincerely to one person. Prabhupada writes this beautiful letter. He says, if every day you just sincerely preach to one person, he said, at the end you'll go back to Prabhupada. So just find a way. Yeah, some people are willing, some people are unwilling. Some people are open, some people are not so open. But you know what? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy can reach all of them, providing we have the sensitivity, the ingenuity, and ultimately the compassion to want to try to help them. This movement is so multifarious that we have so many ways to connect people. So
like this, prasadam, help people, connect them to maybe other aspects of Krishna consciousness, Ayurveda, this, that, you know, help them. Just help people. If people like you, that's also, and I'll end on this point. Jayananda Prabhu was an incredible devotee. I don't know how many of you have read about Jayananda Prabhu, but if you haven't, you definitely should. Prabhupada said he was the first saint in ISKCON. He was the one who began the Rath Yatra festivals. Anyway, he would go out and he would collect donations from all kinds of people, you know, and get the permission for Rath Yatra. He used to go every year to this lady in the local council, and she was so inimical. She just didn't like the devotees, but he would charm her, he would bring prasad, he was very nice to her, and then every year somehow she would just give the permission, but she didn't like the devotees. Jayananda Prabhu eventually passed away, and then the next year another devotee went to that lady to get the permit. And she said, where is he? The devotee said, who? He said, where is Johnny Ananda? Is Johnny Ananda? Oh, Jayananda. You mean Jayananda? And then the devotee said, no. He passed away. And when she heard that, she just broke down crying. She just became so emotional. She said, he passed away, he died. How could God do that? He was such a nice person. He was one of the nicest persons I ever met. And then she made a statement. She said, you know, I don't know anything about you guys. I don't know anything about your movement. I don't know what you believe in. I don't know what you do all day. I don't know what your mission is. But you know, if Jayananda is with you, you guys must be good. And I thought, that's such an amazing thing. She said, if Jayananda is with you, you must be good. In other words, just by the way he carried himself, just by his own saintliness that he exuded, even someone inimical could not fail to be attracted. So devotees, we have to become the real thing. People have to be able to see us and think, you know what, this person is different. We used to talk in the ashram, if we went out without this dress, if we went out without this tilak, if we went out just as a normal civilian and we interacted with the world, would someone be able to detect that this person is a monk? Would they be able to detect, just from the way we carry ourselves, that this person is living in a different way? That's the test. And just by your own way you carry yourself and your own character and saintliness, you're preaching. So there are unlimited ways. Devotees are powerful. You're powerful beyond what you know if you follow the process. And so many people will get benefit. So it's, yeah. Marry the mission. Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.